I'd like to start with your background. You are you grew up in Brussels.
Yes.
And you have like half an Arabic background and half English. Is that?
That's right. Yeah. Well, some more Egyptian than anything else, because that's where my grandfather was from, and that's the country that I know best. I think that's where I've been going. You know, when I had holidays and stuff like that, I would always go back to Egypt, and I was very close to my cousin's father's family. He was like my uncle, really. So I kind of probably got to know Egypt through him. So
that's great. I'm actually flattered because I'm from Egypt myself.
Oh, really? Where?
Alexandria.
Oh, my violin player is also half English, half Egyptian, but he's from Alexandria. In fact, my grandfather was from the Skenderiya Keman, but I only went there twice. But Sami Pshay, who plays violin in the acoustic group,
yeah,
he's actually from Alexandria. He was there until he was about 18, and he's now in London. But he's really half English, half Egyptian as well. So he's
Yeah, there's actually, I think there's a lot of Egyptian musicians and artists that kind of reside in England for some reason. I guess it's
That's true. In fact, Gamal Al-Kurdi, who plays the accordion on my album, she used to work with me playing keyboards in the electric group. He's been in England 25 years now.
Wow. And have you done anything with Hassam Ramzi at all? He has a band also that's all Egyptian band.
That's right. I've known Hassam for a long, long time, but he's always been somebody that I come across, or that we bump into each other on festivals and stuff like that. But we've both been so really busy. We keep saying one day.
Yeah.
Hang
him up.
We'll see.
I can't wait. One of my heroes.
He's a nice guy.
That's awesome. So how did you start singing? I mean, have you been singing all your life? Do you have anybody in your family who is an artist, or how did you
start? Yeah, two of my uncles were artists, but one of them just was more like a hobby, and the other one more seriously. So I got encouragement from them. I also got encouragement from my mother. She's the English one. I had encouragement, but neither my brother or sisters are directly involved in the performance side, except my sister is in the film world, but more like the camera side, doing the technical side.
Oh, how many siblings do you have?
I have a brother and a sister. I do have stepbrothers and stepsisters too, but directly from my mother, I have a brother and a sister.
Oh, okay. I read some background on the internet that you started as a dancer. Do you still dance, or how do you dance?
Yeah, I did. I used to dance. I was a belly dancer in Arabic restaurants as well, you know, before I got a record deal anyway. So, So I did that for quite a while, and so sometimes staying in restaurants as well, but as I say, that was all before I got a record deal. So and then when I got a record deal, I was busy on tour with different artists. So, but I did start out doing that.
That's great. I actually I'm a belly dancer too, and I teach dance here in the area.
Right.
So I have to say you're very popular with belly dancers, because your music is, of course, it's very inspiring to dance.
Yes.
And can you tell us how you got your first record deal?
Well, I made a demo with some friends and somebody else that I knew had a contact with a record company in London called Nation Records, who were doing sort of fusion music, but more like club fusion music. And so they passed on the tape of mine to them and this particular record company.
Mm-hmm. Which one?
Were interested. And so they kind of, we started in a way on a professional level when it came to making actual records to be released and stuff. So
which record company was that?
They were called Nation Records.
Oh, Nation Records. Oh, okay. Were you living in London then? When did you move to London, or what made you move to London?
I think I was around I was probably around 25 by the time I got to London.
Did you move to England before your singing career took off? Like, were you singing in Brussels, or did you start singing in England?
I started singing in Brussels, but again, that was all still before I got the record deal. By the time I got the record deal, I had just about moved to London, and because the record company was in London, it was best for me to be there, where everyone that I was working with was based there, so it was best to be there.
I see. So what made you move to England?
Well, my mother was English.
Oh, okay.
And I hadn't seen her for some time, so I went back to be sort of near her, because she hadn't been well for some time, and actually she died 2 years ago now, but I went mainly because of her.
Yeah. Can you tell us about who influenced, like, the major influences in your life, especially singing influences, but also in general?
I think my main influences are probably Abdul Halim Hafez, Fairuz, but I also like, I like Bjork, singers like Bjork on the European side, and I do like some sort of classical. There's a classical composer called Zed Multaka. I think he's Lebanese, actually, but he's done a really interesting album that I like called Anashid.
What's his name again, sorry?
Ziad Multaka. I thought it was Ziad Multaka, but I think, actually, that it's on the album, it's written Zed Multaka.
Zed Multaka, huh.
Yeah, and he did an album called Anashid.
Okay.
It was a live concert, but it's just amazing, because he is influenced by Stravinsky, and it's this sort of mix of classical, sort of Arabic and Western, and it's very unusual at the same time. But
wow,
I was incredibly impressed by that.
Great. I also noticed that you speak several languages, which is great. I guess the name.
Yeah, I wouldn't say completely fluently. I can hold a conversation in a few languages, but I wouldn't say that I was completely fluent.
But you sing in several languages. I know you sing in English, French, Arabic.
Spanish,
wow, yeah. So that's four more languages than most people. Many of your songs are reproductions of old classical Arabic songs, which is actually great, because it's definitely keeping the heritage alive.
that was one of my main... I guess that was one of my goals, is to keep the heritage alive whilst bringing something new to it as well.
Absolutely, yeah, definitely. So how do you pick your, the songs that you, can you tell us more about what goes behind the scenes in, producing an album?
My musical director, Harvey Buffer, I've played him lots and lots of tunes, lots of tapes of Fairuz and Abdul Halim Hafez, and he gave his idea of which ones he felt would be good to do, because they could appeal, obviously, both to Arabic people from a nostalgic point of view, but also to a Western European audience, because there was a fusion. For instance, the song Benny O'Bannock, the best song Benny O'Bannock, because it has a slightly sort of slightly jazzy influence. Do you know that from the film Abdul Halim Hafez in the 50s?
Of course, yeah. And you've read Katute, yes.
That song in particular, Harvey really liked. He thought it would be a great one to do because it has an appeal to both Westerners and Arabic people.
Yeah. And do you run into any copyright issues or any royalties or anything like that? Or have you...
Well, the thing is that, because they're registered through PRS. So, it's not like... in Europe, the system is different. You're allowed to do cover versions as long as you register who are the writers of these songs. Now, in the Arabic world, it's different. However, this album is not put out by an Arabic company in an Arabic country. So the rules remain European. And as an artist producing something in Europe, the law is that you can actually do cover versions of songs if, with the PRS people, you state clearly who is the writer.
I see. Can you tell us more about the PRS? I don't think we're familiar with it.
There's a Performing Rights Society.
Okay.
Which govern, basically they take care of collecting and monitoring music. So if you, for instance, if somebody wants to do a cover version of my song.
Yeah.
If they want to come and ask me, that's fine, but they don't necessarily have to ask me, because the PRS means that if they do a cover version of my song, the publishing rights remain mine. So say if they sell a million records, then I'm actually going to make something out of it. So it's more beneficial to the artist to agree to a cover version than to disagree. And most artists in Europe wouldn't disagree unless they had something very personally against the artist that was,
that wasn't covered.
For instance, if somebody was a strict vegetarian and the artist that is doing a cover version, it was a carnivore and really disagreed with that, they might sort of say, actually, I'd prefer that they didn't do it. But it's just very rare.
Yeah.
It's kind of rare and rather stupid, so... It doesn't often happen. If somebody wants to do a cover version of my song and they're quite well known, I am going to benefit out of it.
Of course, yeah.
So that's how the Performing Rights Society, it kind of works that way. They monitor, things. So, and basically, you if you're going to do a cover version, you sort of say, okay, I'm declaring that I'm doing a cover version of this song, and the writers are these people, some of which are usually dead anyway, if you're doing something that's more than, 30 years old, so...
Yeah.
As in Abdelhaim Hafez's case, however, he's not the writer of Beggar Where the Court or the other song that I do of his.
Yeah.
He was not the composer of those songs, but still I think that the composer of one of those songs is actually deceased anyway. But so anyhow, Performing Rights, the way that we do things over here to the way things are done over in the Middle East is quite different.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm wondering how do you, kind of compromise
the thing is,
laws.
How I deal with it is that I'm not living in an Arabic country, so Arabic laws do not apply to me, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm producing something for a European and Western market by a European record company, so therefore, technically, if I was doing something that was being released in the Arabic country by an Arabic record company,
yeah,
I would probably then have to ask permission. I'd have to adhere to their laws. However, I'm not in their jurisdiction.
That's right. Yeah.
So
did you ever meet Fairuz or Rahbani Brothers? Because I know that you do a lot of their music, but
I haven't actually. I would be interested to meet them. I know that. Her son Ziad has also done some very good music. There's one song that I would like to cover. I think it's called Saluni and Nurse.
Oh yeah.
I really like this song, and Ziad actually wrote this song.
Uh-huh.
And I would really like to cover that song at some point, because I just think it's a great song, and it's quite bouncy as well, quite up tempo, and it's a great little song.
That's true, yeah, I love that song.
Yeah.
And did you ever record anything in Egypt, or did you cooperate with, I know many of your musicians are Egyptian, or Egyptian origin, but...
A couple of my songs, from previous records were actually recorded in Egypt, in Egyptian recording studios, but I haven't done anything there recently. I haven't done anything in the last 5 years.
I see, yeah.
But hopefully, I'll get a chance to do that in the future.
There's a lot of cooperation now between you know, native Egyptian singers and European singers, like they do duets, like, you know, Hakim with Olga Tanyan, and I know Ahmed Yadid a couple of other cooperation songs, like where they sing duet stuff and things like that. What do you think of those?
Yeah, I think I think
Amrit
may have done something with Ricky Martin, maybe?
I think so, yeah.
I never actually got to hear it yet, but... Yeah, so we'll see what the future brings, but I'd like to be able to do that.
Yeah, and kind of off the, you know, off the stage, what other hobbies do you have? What do you do in your spare time, if you have any?
Oh, well, I don't really have very much spare time at the moment, but when I do have some spare time, I like to go swimming, and I like to read, but I've not had any spare time since the beginning of the year.
Wow.
So I think the next time I have some spare time, I'm actually going to go have a show in Zanzibar in February, and I'm going to go early to spend some time there, just to have a look around and everything. So
in Zanzibar?
Yes.
Oh, that's a beautiful place.
Yeah. But that's the next time I'm going to get some free time, so that's February.
Yeah.
Next February.
And is it, when you're coming to San Francisco tomorrow, is this going to be your first time in San Francisco, or have you been here before?
No, I think I've played there once before, but it was probably a good 6-7 years ago, perhaps.
Oh, wow. Well, we're glad to have you, of course. And I know you're performing with Rahim Al-Hajj from Iraq and Sahel Kasper. Mm. How did you meet Rahim, or how did you hook up with those guys?
Well, I wasn't aware that I was doing that. Are they performing beforehand, or?
Oh, I thought, well, they are performing at the San Francisco Jazz Festival as well.
I wasn't aware of that, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's my mistake. I thought that you were performing together, but it looks like you're performing separately.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So hopefully I'll get to meet them anyway.
I'm sure you will, yeah. They're excellent. Rahim Al-Hajj is from Iraq and Sahel Kasper is Lebanese.
Right, yeah.
And they play music, they don't sing, but Rahim plays the oud.
Oh, okay, right.
He's a oud player, yeah. I know that you're very active in promoting, you know, peaceful coexistence and you know, your message is always, you know, that of harmony, living in harmony. Can you tell us more about, you know, any projects in that respect, or what kind of activities do you have in that respect?
Well, I mean, when I get involved in, the Amnesty International got me involved in something that was, about sort of peace and stuff like that. Or something just recently I did. When I can, I get involved in those things. But again, it really just depends on whether, you know, I get asked all the time to sort of be present for this particular charity event or that particular charity event. And usually if I'm around at the time, I'm able to participate. However, this year has been so incredibly busy that it's been very difficult. I managed to participate in one Amnesty International thing this year, where they actually came to the studio and they asked me to do something for them, and they filmed it. So I do when I can, but it's been increasingly difficult this year just because I haven't had a moment to myself even.
Yeah, I can imagine. But that's great that, you know, because with your multicultural background, you can very easily kind of, you know, bridge the gap between cultures and show that it's possible to actually coexist in harmony.
Yes, well, I believe so. And there's more people like me that will testify to the fact that it can work.
Yeah.
You know.
And did you ever perform in the Arab world or the Middle East?
Well, I did a couple of shows in Egypt, but it was more like a private party thing, and I did some stuff in Lebanon, and I was in Morocco at the Mawazine Festival, but not as much as I would like. I would like to do a bit more, but I've done a little bit.
Yeah, because I know that your music is also very popular in Egypt. You know, judging from my Egyptian friends, they always talk about you. So I know that you are becoming very increasingly popular in the Middle East as well, which is
great. Yes, I know. It's been growing over the last few years, which is nice. Maybe that has something to do with I don't know, perhaps YouTube or more access for Arabs to what's happening in Europe. So I've had more exposure because it wasn't always the case, but lately, I mean, one of my Egyptian cousins goes back to Egypt regularly. In fact, he plays percussion for me. He was there just about a week ago because he's getting engaged over there, but he's going to be on stage with me on this tour. He arrives tomorrow, in fact, with the rest of the group. Okay. Anyway, he said to me, every time he goes there, more and more people know of me.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, so that's great. That's really very encouraging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Out of everywhere that I would like to sort of go and do something and be like that, Egypt is the closest to my heart because that's directly to do with my background. But it's also quite scary because, I mean, like I said, I played in Egypt. There was just like a couple of private parties, which is different because that's where people have chosen you because it's a private party. So it's a different thing than sort of doing something that's open to the public.
Yeah.
To do something that's open to the public, I think I would be quite nervous because it's important to me, you know, really, I guess.
Yeah, well, hopefully it'll happen soon and it'll be, you know, very big success and you'll say, I'm glad I did it.
Yeah. Inshallah.
Inshallah. So, can you tell us about some of, like, the best moments, like, some of your memories that you always cherish?
Actually, yeah, there was just one that I just forgot to mention was that in the year 2000, the Millennium Concert, I was on stage with Jean-Michel Jarre at the Pyramids.
Wow.
And I did one song, one of his, that he asked me to guest on. And it was like something like 70,000 people in the audience.
Wow.
And it was a very memorable moment, except that there was this weird mist, so you couldn't see the pyramids because there were projections of pictures on the pyramids that Jean-Michel Jarre had created, and they didn't work because there was this weird mist that descended. But the atmosphere of that evening was great because it was like a real big kind of pop concert, bigger than anything seen before in Egypt.
Wow.
And it was full of, there was Egyptians there, there were foreigners, there were other Arabs, there were Europeans. I mean, I've never seen anything like it in my life. And it was probably the biggest concert I've ever done in my life, actually.
Wow.
But it's only one song, but it was still amazing. And it was one of the things that I'll never forget.
I'm sure. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And are there any low moments that you can share with us?
I guess one of my lowest moments was 2 years ago when my mother died of cancer, you know.
Yeah.
It was difficult for me because I was on tour at the time.
Oh,
I mean, I was kind of coming back to see her when I could. That was probably one of my lowest moments because the only other person close to me that passed on was my uncle in Egypt, who I was also very close to, and that was a year before, so that was also a low moment because it was very close to each other, and there's two people that I loved. Very, very much. So those were low moments for me, I guess.
Yeah, I can imagine. Sorry to hear that. Yeah, I know you have a couple of events happening here. After the San Francisco Jazz Festival, are you going to fly back to England, or do you have more events in the United States?
Well, after the San Francisco show, we come to LA, back to LA,
because
I have a show in LA on the night, and then in in New York on the 11th.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. And then after that, I go back to England, yeah.
Okay. Do you have any advice to aspiring singers who are at the earlier part of their careers? What can you share with from your experience, what helped you and what advice can you give them?
I guess my advice at the moment, because it's a very, very difficult climate for any artist to begin. In fact, I feel quite sorry for any aspiring artist at the moment, because the climate economically is just not very good, and you know, even for an established artist it's difficult to sell CDs. So the only advice I could give is that if you're persistent and you stick at it, eventually, you know, you will find a way to get through. But it, you know, you have to be extremely in love with what you're doing to be that persistent, because it, even somebody who's really, really established in these times can get very discouraged.
Yeah. Well,
you have to be extremely persistent and extremely single-minded about it.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, that's true for any field, for that matter, especially the arts.
Well, for any field, in fact, yes.
But you're right, yeah, hopefully the economic situation will improve soon. We can't wait.
Yes, hopefully when Obama wins.
Yeah. We'll know the results by the end of today, I hope.
Yeah. I hope we'll be singing and waving flags. Well, obviously I'm not an American citizen, but I feel that Obama is, you know, America's only hope, because unfortunately I feel I've been here since the last couple of days, and I've been watching the speeches that Obama made and that McCain made, and what I felt is that McCain is not actually saying anything substantial, and he's not saying how he would change things in, he's not saying how he would do things any differently to Bush, really.
Yeah.
In fact, he's just talked a lot of fluff, really. Mostly he's just sort of saying, I'm going to be commander-in-chief and come and vote. He's not really saying an awful lot else. Whereas Obama's fairly clear and concise.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the major reasons why his campaign is very successful, because it's definitely full of more substance than the McCain campaign, but it's also people are, you know, suffering the results of 8 years of Bush's policy, and they definitely...
Yeah, so why would they really want to go back to that? And basically, they'd be going back to more of the same.
Well, we would like to give you the U.S. citizenship today so that you can vote.
Well, I just sort of asked any American fans of mine, you know, sort of on MySpace, I've just sort of said to, you know, if anybody's out there who hasn't voted and they can't decide, they can vote for me. They can vote my vote instead of me, because I'm not an American. And so I would like to vote Obama. And if they're undecided but they still want to vote, they could vote Obama on my behalf.
There you go. There you go, you're doing your share. Thank you, Natasha.
You're welcome.
I just have a couple of more questions, and I know towards the end of the interview here, but I just wanted to ask you more about, like, what's next for you? What are your hopes and dreams? What do you want to accomplish, you know, next?
Well, I'm working on the next Electric album, which will be released in the States via an American company. I guess my hopes and dreams are, I would like to get more involved in making music for film. And I've already started that. Did with Trans Global Underground. Mm-hmm. We've completed some music to two films. One film that's already come out called Whatever Lola Wants.
Oh yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah, myself and Trans Global were responsible for most of the music on that film.
That's great.
And then we just did some music to an Italian film, which is about two Arabs who meet each other from very different backgrounds in Italy, and they fall in love. And so myself and Trans Global just did the music for that. And I would like to do more music for films, because there's going to come a time when I can't tour as much.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe in the future I might like to sort of, yeah, have a child or something, and so it would mean that I would have to find another way to still pursue my musical career, but not on the road so much. At the moment I'm on the road all the time, that even if I wanted to to slow down and have a family. I wouldn't be able to. It physically wouldn't be possible. So my dream, I guess, is to sort of to get more involved in music that demands more of my time in one place in studios rather than the gallivanting across the globe with the way that I have been doing.
Yeah.
Although it's great and everything, I would just like to do a little bit less of that and more studio work.
Absolutely, yeah, I can imagine. And do you still dance, by the way, or are you?
Oh yes, I do still dance, and I still dance on stage.
That's great. Thank you.
I've never been that good at it. Really, it's just one of those things I grew up with, so I can do it in the show and everything. But I'm not a professional dancer in the way that I've seen other dancers who've studied for years and years with different teachers and stuff. Now I just do what comes naturally to me, and it works, you know.
Which is the best way, actually.
Because
I have to say, as a dancer and dance teacher, when role models like yourself, you know, dance on stage, it actually, it's almost like giving people the okay that it is okay. It's okay to dance and express themselves that way.
From
my experience, you have no idea how many people joined our classes after seeing like people like Shakira and there's another teenage idol, I forgot her name, but she also danced on stage and, you know, she was doing belly dance moves, and now it's becoming more mainstream than it used to be, which is great. So
I think it's great because it helps to put across a more positive side of our culture, because all we ever see is the negative side, and it's usually a very masculine presentation as well. You know, war and terrorists, it's all very male and very masculine. And I think that, you know, belly dance is something that's great from our culture, but it's from the feminine side. So I think it's really good.
Absolutely,
you know,
absolutely. No, it's,
yeah.
I'm with you. I'm doing my share. We're all doing our little share of, you know, the piece here. So, and you're going to be, how long are you going to be in San Francisco? Are you, you're flying in tomorrow night. You know, I know you have rehearsals tomorrow night.
Yeah, and then we do the show the next day, and then I think we leave the day after to go back to LA to perform in LA.
Oh, on Friday, okay. We're actually going to be playing this interview while you're in rehearsal, so we'll be thinking of you and sending you good vibes while you're in rehearsal.
Oh, thank you. That's great. So will you be at the show?
I have a class that night, but I'm trying to find a stuff that I can make it, so I'm working on being on the show.
Okay. Well, if you get there, do come and say hello backstage.
Of course.
Come and introduce yourself.
Absolutely. That's the main reason I would like to. To come, of course, to listen to your beautiful music and come and say hi. So I'm going to work on that because I teach classes every night. So
every night.
Belly dance classes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, you know, as I mentioned, it's starting to become more mainstream now. So there's
classes
through a college here in the area.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, in conclusion, just before I, stop recording here, I just want to thank you again for your time and your wonderful, wonderful music. Keep it up, and we look forward to your, you know, more upcoming events. And I hope you come back to San Francisco and stay longer with us.
Inshallah.
Inshallah.
Allah khandiki shukran.